Tape recorded message number TL542. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Will you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, the Proverbs of Solomon. We begin our study today with the 22nd verse of the 11th chapter. We had to break off in our previous study, and we will take it up at the point where we broke off in our last lesson together. I am sure that you who are following me through the book of Proverbs, you realize that this book is one that is hard to deal with. It's hard to present in an expository way. And today I'm going to attempt to do something different. I have wanted to do this, but have hesitated to do it until I could get a chance to go into it again for myself. A good many years ago, in fact, back in 1903, which would be 80 years ago, a man named Farrar Fenton, F-E-R-R-A-R, Farrar Fenton, F-E-N-T-O-N, and he published a translation. He finished his translation in 1903. He had been studying it for some 50 years. He published a translation of both the Old and the New Testament, in which he attempted to restore the meter. And I realize that I have been setting these things forth, that I cannot take the King James Version and just keep continually correcting it. I'm going to deal with it this time in Mr. Fenton's version, Professor Fenton's version. And I'm going to read it right from his version, and I believe that he comes the nearest to expressing all of these words. Now, let me say, this does not mean that I'm recommending that you go out and buy a copy of Fenton's version. I am not too sold on other books that he translates and other books that he deals with, but I do like his treatment of the book of Proverbs. I have compared this with the actual meaning of the Hebrew words to a certain extent. I've compared it, and I find it to be very expressive and very good, especially as it maintains the poetic meter. You see, these proverbs are actually Hebrew poetry. When you turn them into English, you lose a lot. And when you do like the King James Version translators do, not bother too much as to what these words mean, but just to have them to say something, whether it's the correct thing or not, then you lose a great deal. Now, you will notice there, the 22nd verse of the 11th chapter, where in our version it says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. Now, that's a very good version. That is in our King James Version. But Fenton would translate that in this fashion: a golden gem in the snout of a hog is a fair woman who lost to discretion. In the 23rd verse, the hope of the upright is always good, the hope of the wicked departs. That's right. The expectation of the upright is always good. It remains. The hope of the wicked departs. A man may scatter and still increase. That is true. Or grasp at much and be poor. A generous soul is enriched, and a water shall be watered. The people will curse the holder of corn. That is, cornering the market and holding the corn, but will bless the hand that sells. The benefactor seeks delight. And who seeks injury, he meets it. Who trusts in his wealth will fail, but the good will flourish like grass. Now the 29th verse. Who disturbs his house inherits wind, and the fool will serve the reflective. The fruit of the good is a living tree, and the wise man gathers lives. Winneth souls is our version, but the wise man, he gathers lives. You see the good repaid on earth. How much more the vile and the bad? Instruction love and love to learn. Who hates reproof is loutish. That's the first verse of the 12th chapter. Now, you can see the difference there. As this is translated, trying to maintain the poetic meter, and I'm going to go on to read now the 12th chapter in Farrar Fenton's version. These things just speak for themselves when they are not just simplified, but translated correctly. Notice this first verse. It just simply says, instruction, love, and love to learn. Who hates reproof is loutish. That doesn't need any comment, doesn't need any explanation. The Lord shows favor to the good, but will punish the mischievous man. A man cannot build upon wrong, but the foot of the good has a sure base. Fourth verse. A virtuous wife is her husband's crown, but the vicious a rot in his bones. The design of the good is justice. This is the fifth verse. The design, the purpose, that is, of the good is justice. The aim of the wicked is deceit. We continue. The plans of the wicked seek blood, but the plan of the good is to save. The wicked fall and vanish, but the house of the righteous stands. A man is honored for a prudent mouth, but the malicious in heart is despised. The commoner who has a servant is better than a prince without bread. The good man cares for the life of his beast, but the mercies of the bad are cruel. Now that does not simply say the good man cares for the life of the beast. It says he cares for the soul of the beast. But there were many thinkers who thought that souls should only be connected with man, and they changed this translation to life. Well, the righteous man won't care for the life of his beasts, whether this beast lives or dies. He wants to keep it alive so he can use it. No, that's not the righteous man. The righteous man cares for the soul of his beast, and the soul always has to do with the feelings. A righteous man would care if his beast of burden had a place to sleep at night, which would keep him from the rain and the wind, had some straw for his bed, had some food in his crib in the manger, and so on. That's what the righteous man would care about. He wouldn't work him too hard on the hot days and the beaming sun. He wouldn't leave him to stand out in the cold in the winter days. No, the righteous man cares for the soul of his beast, but the mercies of the bad are cruel. Verse 11, who farms his land will have bread, but who follows a demagogue is senseless. The wicked wish for wrongful plunder, but the plant of the righteous bears. The bad are caught by rebellious lips, but the good are brought out of trouble. A man can gain by the fruit of his lips, and the work of his hands comes to him. The way of a fool is right in his eyes, but the wise will hear advice. A fool displays his anger at once, but the skillful will hide an insult. A truthful witness breathes out good, but the false one pours deceit. Verse 18, loose talk is a stabbing word, but the tongue of the wise will heal. The true lip will last forever. For a moment, the lying tongue. The heart contriving evil to seize, but the counsels of peace bring joy. No sorrow will oppose the good, but the bad will be full of trouble. The Lord abhors the lying lip, but the practice of truth delights him. The skillful man conceals his knowledge. The fool's heart proclaims his folly. The hand of the diligent rules, but the idle lies under tribute. Grief depresses the heart of a man, but a gentle word can cheer it. The righteous excels his neighbor, but the wicked, they lose their way. The idle cooks not his game, but action is wealth to the active. Righteousness brings us a happy life, and her pathways lead not to death. Now, as we read this in the Fenton version, as I said before, I'm not recommending that you go out and purchase one of these. I'm just simply saying that in the book of Proverbs, it is the best and the clearest translation that I can find. Let us notice how Fenton deals with this in the 13th verse, and he translated directly from the Hebrew. A wise son will love correction, but a scoffer hears not reproof. A man's mouth eats good food, but the soul of a rascal villainy. He guards his life who checks his mouth. The wicked-lipped kills himself. Those who, to be lipped, L-I-P-P-E-D, he kills himself. The idler longs while his body starves, but the active body will thrive. The righteous hate false speaking, but the wicked revile and libel. Righteousness keeps a straight-on course, but wickedness turns to sin. Some men seem rich but have nothing, or pretend to be poor with wealth. A man's life can be ransomed by wealth, but the poor man hears no threats. The light of the righteous shines, but the lamp of the wicked flickers. The vanity of pride makes strife, but wisdom possesses prudence. Small losses diminish wealth. How true that is. It increases by small additions. Wealth is increased by small additions. It's diminished by small losses. Hope deferred makes a man's heart sick, but a wish attained is a tree of life. He is bound by a pledge who breaks it, but who attends to the law has peace. Wisdom's rules are a well of life, to the rejecter snares of death. Good conduct procures us favor, but the path of traitors is hard. All the clever act with caution, but the foolish displays his folly. The agent of sin will find trouble, but honesty's agent is safe. Instruction scorned brings wanton shame, but correction regarded honor. To attain our wish is sweet to the mind, so fools hate to abandon sin. Walk with the wise and be wise, but the company of fools corrupts. Suffering follows the wicked, but benefit salutes the good. Grandchildren succeed the good, but the bad store wealth for the just. Digging for springs increases food, yet some fail for want of judgment. Who spares the rod will spoil his child, but affection corrects him early. The good eats to feed his life, but the belly of the bad for greed. The wise build up their house, but the foolish pull down with their hands. Note, we've gone now into the 14th chapter in the first verse. You may be following me in the King James Version, which is somewhat different from this translated right from the original. Notice, the wise wives build up their house, that's 14:1, but the foolish pull down with their hands. The honest walk in the fear of the Lord, but those of bad habits despise. For foolish lips is the lifted rod, but the lips of the prudent guard them. Without bullocks the barn is empty, but the strong steer produces plenty. See how homely and practical these things are. Verse 5, a truthful witness will never fail, but a false one pours out deception. The scorner seeks, but he finds not wisdom, but the reflector easily learns. Walk away from a foolish man, for you learn not from his lips. Good, pay good heed there. Walk away from a foolish man, for you learn not from his lips. The wise examines his course with care, but their folly will mislead fools. The depraved jeer at confessing sin, but the upright do it gladly. The heart knows its own distress, and no stranger prevents its joy, that is, hinders its joy. The house of the bad is destroyed, but the tent of the good extends, the tabernacle of the good extends. A course may seem straight before a man, while the result of that course are death. Even in laughter the heart is sad, and the end of mirth is sorrow. Pardon me. The coward is full of his plans, but a brave man of his actions. The silly, the foolish, will trust to every word, but the prudent examines his progress. The wise man fears, and he flies from danger, but the fool goes on with presumption. The quick-tempered acts like a fool, and a mischievous fellow is hateful. The stupid will inherit folly, but the clever are crowned by knowledge. Make the wicked submit to the good, and the bad at the gates of the righteous. Now, this brings us to the 14th chapter, which is the third book. Actually, the third book of Proverbs. These could be called lessons of daily life, just lessons of daily life. It starts out this way, verse 20 of chapter 14. His brother hates the poor, that is, the bad person. His brother hates the poor, but the rich has many friends. He sins who despises his neighbor, but who comforts, that is, consoles the poor will prosper. Do not the wicked work for wrong, but the kind and true for good? There is profit from every labor, but the talk of the lips brings want. Wealth is a crown to the wise, but folly crowns the perverse. A truthful witness rescues lives, but a liar breathes out danger. He safely hopes who fears the Lord, and his children will have a refuge. Well, what a practical lesson that is in daily life, that 26th verse, as Fenton translates it. He safely hopes who fears the Lord, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a well of life. Wellspring, it could well be, but it's a well, a flowing well. The fear of the Lord is a well of life. It turns from the snares of death. An increasing race is a monarch's honor. A decreasing nation and princes fall. Slow anger shows great prudence, but quick temper discloses folly. A contented man strengthens the frame, but envy is a rot in the bones. Who wrongs the poor insults his maker, but who honors him pities the needy. Now, in the Old Testament, the poor were always those who were without influence and without power. Not just without money, they didn't count their wealth by money, but these people who were just helpless, the helpless, not just those without money. And whoever wronged those insulted his maker, but who honors him, he pities the needy. The wicked is depressed in suffering, but the good has hope in his death. Wisdom rests in the heart of the prudent, but the secret of fools is published. Righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness lifts it up, puts it on a higher plane, keeps it civilized. You know, the word civilization has to do with that which is civil. And when a nation begins to lose its civility, when there's just no such thing as people being civil, then civilization is at an end. And righteousness exalts a nation. But sin will disgrace all peoples. A skillful minister delights a king, but his anger will come on the stupid. The 15th chapter. A gentle answer turns back wrath, but hard speech rouses fury. Knowledge adorns the tongue of the wise, but the fool's mouth pours out folly. The eyes of the Lord are on every place, observing the bad and the good. A pleasant tongue is a tree of life, but a spiteful mouth is a wrecking storm. A fool refuses his father's advice, but the sensible minds his reproof. Wealth grows in the house of the good, but the increase of the bad is sorrow. The lips of the wise sow knowledge, but the mind of the fools regards not. The wicked's offering disgusts the Lord, but the prayer of the upright delights him. Notice that carefully. The offering, the sacrifice of the wicked disgusts the Lord, but the prayer of the upright delights him. That's why men should pray, not just to get something, get answers, to do this, to be able to do that, just because that the prayer of the upright delights him. Go on and pray. Pray if he never answers. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. The 9th verse of the 15th chapter. The road of sin disgusts the Lord, but he loves the path of right. Who leaves that way will suffer grief. Who hates reproof will die. The grave and the lost are before the Lord, with the hearts of the children of Adam. The scorner loves not his reprover, so he does not like the wise. A merry heart will gladden the face, but a sad heart breaks the spirit. The intelligent mind seeks learning. Learning just for the sake of knowing, becoming familiar with everything that's worthwhile. The mouth of fools, it eats folly, it devours folly. All the days of the coward are griefs, but the bold heart always feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than wealth and an evil conscience. Better a dinner of herbs with love, just a few vegetables with love, than a fattened ox with hatred. A passionate man excites contention, but a forbearing settles strife. The road of the idler is hedged with thorns, but the path of the active is smooth. A wise son will delight his father, but a fool despises his mother. Folly delights the empty mind, but the sensible man goes straight. Plans with no basis are futile. They're only achieved by reflection. A man can please by the word of his mouth, for how sweet is an opportune word. The path of the wise leads up to life. Who turn from it slope to the grave. They're just on an incline that slopes down to Sheol. The Lord throws down the house of the cruel, but guards the bounds of the gentle. The thoughts of the bad disgust the Lord, but the words of the poor are sweet. The words of the pure are sweet. The corrupt official afflicts his house, but the hater of bribes will live. The good will hesitate to speak, but the wicked will pour out villainy. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the good. A cheerful heart enlightens the eyes, and a good news fattens the frame. The ear that hears the instruction of life resides in the breast of the wise. Who refuses correction hates his life. Who hears a reproof buys sense. Wisdom teaches the fear of the Lord, and humility goes before honor. That brings us on to the 16th chapter. And here the thought changes. For before this time, Solomon has been given just instructions or maxims for our daily lives. But this has to do now with the divine government. Verse 1, for chapter 16. Man can display his ideas, but the Lord gives the tongue a reply. All a man's ways are right in his eyes, but the Lord can examine his thoughts. Confide all your works to the Lord. He will arrange for your plans. The Lord made all for his purpose. Yes, the bad for the day of the distress. All the proud-hearted disgust the Lord. Hand in hand, even if they join together as a unit, they will not be guiltless. This idea, everybody's doing it, you should too. No, sir. The proud-hearted disgust the Lord. Even when they join together, hand in hand, they will not be guiltless. Frailty is pardoned by kindness and truth, but the fear of the Lord turns from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his foes are at peace with him. An honest little is better. That's what it says. An honest little is better than a great dishonest increase. A man's heart plans his object, but the Lord controls the results. Now this has to do in the next six verses, has to do with the duties of those who govern, like the kings, whatever they might be. And Solomon says, let justice guard the royal lips, lest his mouth should err in deciding. A just balance and scales are the Lord's, for he made all the weights in the bag. It is hateful for kings to sin, for to do right supports the throne. See, there's an obligation on those who govern that they walk far more righteously and live far more righteously than does the man who does not have the rod or the rule in his hands. It's especially hateful for those who govern to sin, for to do upright supports the throne. Honest lips should be pleasing to kings, who should love the straight-out speaker, the forthright speaker, but straight out. A king's wrath is a herald of death, but a wise man can appease it. In the light of a royal face is light, and his favor a rain cloud in harvest. Now, the following verses are in praise of wisdom. Verse after verse, through the next two or three chapters, it is just in praise of wisdom. Now, wisdom has to do with the knowledge of the things of God. No man is really wise until he's been taught in the school of God. And that school starts when he opens his book and wants to find out exactly what God has said, and he wants to be found believing it. Now, verse after verse here is in praise of wisdom. Notice what it says. Verse 16 of chapter 16. Buy wisdom rather than the finest gold, more precious than all of these coins that men pile up, Buy wisdom rather than the finest gold. Get thought before the choicest silver. The right highway is to turn from sin. He saves his soul who keeps that road. Pride will precede destruction, and a haughty spirit a fall. Prefer a humble state with the gentle to sharing wealth with the fierce. The skillful in business finds success, but who trusts in the Lord is happy. Intelligence meets the wise heart, and pleasant lips gain wealth. Sense is a living spring to its owner, but a fool's instruction is folly. The heart of the wise instructs his mouth and brings a reward to his lips. Kind words are like to a honeycomb, sweet to the mind and health to the frame. A course may seem right to a man, but the end of it may be death. A man who works, works for himself, for his mouth compels him to do so. A loose fellow, he pours out sin, and his lips are a scorching fire. A spiteful man spreads strife, and a whisper separates friends. A rascal deludes his neighbor and leads him to a course of loss. Fixing his eyes and planning fraud, with tight lips he works the wrong. Gray hair is a beautiful crown, if found in a righteous cause. Notice that. It's not just that gray hair is a beautiful crown, but if it's found in a righteous cause. Forbearance is better than force, and to hold one's temper than taking a city. Notice that. Forbearance is better than force, and to hold one's temper than taking a city. Dice are flung out in the box, but their arrangement comes from the Lord. A dry crust is better with peace than a house of rich foods with strife. A wise servant rules a bad son and will take his share with the brothers. The flaming furnace for silver and gold, but the Lord is the tester of hearts. You see, silver and gold would be tested in a furnace to bring out the dross and to remove the dross. But the Lord is a tester of hearts. The wicked seeks for evil lips. The liar attends to a traitor's tongue. Who laughs at the poor insults his maker. Who delights in suffering will suffer. An old man's crown are the sons of his son, and the father's the honor of children. An eloquent lip becomes not a brute, neither do lying lips a noble. Talent is a gem in the eyes of its owner. To whatever it turns, he prospers. Who hides a fault will gain affection, but to report repels your friends. A reproof impresses good sense, more than 100 stripes a fool. The 11th verse, the seditious seeks sure mischief and sends an agent to punish himself. Let a man meet a bear bereaved, that's the animal, the bear, before a fool in his folly. Who repays a good turn with wrong, distress departs not from his house. Starting strife is water poured out, so refrain before strife is begun. Acquitting the bad and convicting the good, both alike are disgusting the Lord. What use is cash in the hand of a fool to buy wisdom when he has no sense? At all times a friend will love you, but a brother for distress must be borne. A senseless man strikes hands as a bond on behalf of his friend. He who loves to do wrong loves strife. Who exalts his gate seeks destruction. A spiteful heart finds nothing good. Yep, that's right. I've seen it. A spiteful heart finds nothing good, and a vile tongue falls into trouble. He grieves himself who begets a fool, and a brute's father will not rejoice. The best medicine is a cheerful heart. That's the best medicine. So you could just empty your medicine chest, get rid of everything, but the cheerful heart is the best medicine. A loaded mind exhausts the frame. It brings depression. The wicked takes a bribe from the purse to deprave the path of justice. The reflective have wisdom before them, but it's far from the eyes of a fool. A foolish son provokes his father, and he embitters her who bore him. It is never right to find the good or strike the noble for justice. The man who knows will spare his words, and the temper of the wise is cool. A silent fool is considered wise, and the close-lipped are held to be knowing. A man seeks his own desires when he's raging against control. A fool discards reflection, for it only discovers his heart. The third verse, the 13th chapter. With the entrance of sin comes disgrace, and with shameful acts reproach. Deep streams are the words of a man's mouth. They come from great depth. A deep brook and well of wisdom. Allow not the high station bad to cheat the good out of their right. The lips of the fool rush to strife, and his mouth calls out for blows. Yeah, you know that old story of let you and him fight? Bad English, but it's very applicable. The lips of the fool rush to strife, and his mouth calls out for blows. The mouth of a fool destroys him, and his lips are a snare to his life. The talebearer's words are like dainties. They go down to the stomach's depths. Who idles over his work is akin to the reckless waster. The name of the Lord is a tower of strength. The good run to it, they're safe. The walk of the rich, the wealth of the rich is his castle. And the lofty wall is his fancy. Before a smash, man's heart is high, but humility goes before honor. To give an answer before you hear, is absurd, and a reproach to yourself. A man's spirit sustains his wound, but a broken spirit who can bear? A prudent man acquires knowledge. The ears of the wise seek learning. The gift of a man gains way and brings before him the great. The plaintiff is right in his cause till the defendant comes on to examine. Wages are laid on the die. See, dice is plural and die is singular, but wages are laid on the die. But cause quarrels among the strong. A brother wronged is more than a castle. His contention's like bars of a fort. A man's belly is filled by the fruit of his mouth. He is fed by the fruit of his lips. Death and life are in tongue's power, but its lovers will eat fruit. Whoso finds a wife finds what is good, but a risky gift from the Lord. I do not know what is meant by that, but that's what it says. The poor man's words are petitions, but the rich man speaks with power. A man of companions is ruined. A friend sticks more fast than a brother. Now, that brings us to the end of the 18th chapter. Solomon is still dealing in praise of wisdom. And this goes on until we get to the 24th verse of the 21st chapter, when he begins to speak of other things. But we'll get to that, the Lord willing, in our next study. And being familiar with the book of Proverbs, having read it many, many times, I find great joy in presenting it to you in this simple, straightforward, unadorned translation of Farrar Fenton. And so that uses up my time, and it has been a joy to bring you this Bible reading, for that is all that it is, just a reading from the Word of God. Now you have it before you, and may the Lord bless it to your heart and to your mind. Well, it has been my pleasure to teach you, and my wish for you is perfect peace, and at such a time, remember always that the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of fire, purified seven times. And so I bid you goodbye. Yours in truth, Otis Q. Sellers.